Today, it's just me and Mrs. Jones.
Nerd Soul.
Lay LK at one, y'all. So holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people, today? Oh, yeah, we coming with another wonderful episode of On Screen, a special episode because we're talking about season two of Jessica Jones. And honestly, I feel like this should have been called Jessica Jones Broken People because this is full of a lot of mess. And when I say mess, I mean people's baggage. Now, the way I feel about season two is that it was a definite step up from season one, like way better than season one. And maybe this is just because, you know, what have you done for me lately, or, you know, the newer is cooler or whatever, but season two, in my opinion, just was more enjoyable. We got more out of Jessica as far as who she was and what she wanted and what she might do, as opposed to season one, where I felt that she was just in a rut the whole time. Of course, guys, holler at me down in the comments. Let me know what you think about her demeanor through the whole season, especially with season two. But I feel like she's been in a better place for her, considering her powers, considering her relationships, and considering her future. So I'm definitely feeling season two on the production side better. I feel like it's just handled better as far as pacing, as far as keeping me interested into what's going on. Now on to that broken people thing. This show is full of people that are just, they're empty in some type of way. And I wanted to stop real quick and just give a shout out to all the people that worked on this, because the intricate details and how these characters were directed, how they were written, there was so much just reality and meatiness and gravity to all of the characters that you could really either love them or love to hate them, but you stayed invested. And that's what really kind of like hit home for me, because a lot of these people I've met in my life. You know, I've met these archetypes in my life where there's users, or people that are being used, or people that have been used so much that they become users. And people that try to use each other to fill each other's voids without fixing themselves first. There's just so much turmoil in people's souls in this season. And of course it makes for great TV, but I do want to say, if you are watching this show and you feel like one of these people identify with you and you feel like you're broken inside, definitely, you know, I don't do all this stuff normally, but talk to somebody, get it out, maybe see someone who can help you, because when you get down this path of like using people and drinking and all this, usually it doesn't end well. And I say that because a lot of these people that I knew and these archetypes, I cut them out of my life because they're simply just negative. And to get an example of these broken people and that negativity, let's start with Inez and Shane. They're an interesting couple because on Inez's side, she's so used to victimizing people that she hasn't even noticed that she's being victimized by Shane. And that's something that is really interesting to see. You know, as far as their relationship is concerned, because she's been so hurt, so beat down, so broken, that she is willing to beat down and break someone else for the one who's breaking her down. And she's become so blind to it that she's become what she's so scared of and what she's so guarded against. And it makes for great TV, but it's a horrible situation for her to be in. Shane, of course, is another one of those people in this show that are simply just a user. Simply just a user. He uses people that are writing him at jail, these women that send him money. He's using Inez to get out of jail. Even the pawn shop lady says, "You aren't the first lawyer." So dude has been in and out of jail, of course, as we know. But it's gut-wrenching to see how how low Shane is and how much lower Inez is to do this to Jerry. And I'll get to Jerry because Jerry deserved what she got. But it's still just, it's gut-wrenching and hurtful to see that. My next person, of course, is Jerry. She deserved what she got, but I still ended up feeling for her. And that's the problem you come into, right? With like good shows like this is where you love to hate someone. Because Jerry isn't, she's not all bad. There is, I feel, a ray of hope inside of her, but she is so far gone. She is so used to being how she is. I don't believe she's ever going to turn. And we see it by the end of the season where she then manipulates the people that manipulated her into killing each other. Well, not in Inez killing Shane, not killing each other, but it is very, it just, it's very indicative of who she is inside. And I honestly think, you know, people might call it the universe or karma or God or the devil or whatever, but I truly think her ALS is a direct result of how she has lived. A lot of people say you can internalize stress into sickness and blah, blah, blah. Well, her negativity, how she has treated people, how she has used her leverage, how she has used her power, I think truly has manifested itself in her ALS. And I hate to say it, but she deserves her ALS. And I'm only saying this in the sense of a character because, you know, I know ALS is a very real thing. But in her case, as a character, she needs something that she can't buy off, that she can't leverage, that she can't blackmail, that she can't use her power over. It's something that she has no control over. And it's something that balances the scales for her that makes her feel powerless. And the way it's acted, the way Carrie Ann Moss, I believe, or Trinity, the way she acts, the way it's displayed, the way it's directed, you hurt for her a little bit until she gets back to her own games. But you do hurt for her because though she's horrible, you do see someone who is desperate and feeling at the end of their rope and looking for hope in anything. And unfortunately being victimized by Shane, you do feel for her a little bit, but she does deserve it. Now, real quick before the jump, I did want to get into two people that I think are kind of like small, but they help kind of like, one pushes the story a little bit, and one is just a nice to have. One is old boy from Luke Cage that gives Carrie Ann Moss the gun, you know, clean off the gun, and he's like, you know what, I'm gonna do a trade because I might need you in the future. I like that. I think it's dope how Netflix has used their minor characters to weave in and out the show. I think it's very cool. And Price, the other, I guess, PI guy, I like his attitude, and I understood where he was coming from at first, but even his brokenness, his inability to move on, and there's a lot of people that can't move on in this show, but his inability to move on kept him obsessive over Jessica Jones, over that situation, over the competition. I mean, dude is winning. Like, why do you need her business? Why do you need to absorb her? Dude, you winning. And even if you absorb her, guess what? There's gonna be another PI somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you can't catch them all, so why even try? But it is interesting to see how obsession breaks him, how it becomes a void that he can't fill. And once again, you get this person who is kind of addicted to this situation. And it's only exacerbated, of course, by Mama Jones or Mrs. Jones, not Miss Jones. We'll talk about Miss Jones later. But Mrs. Jones, of course, killing his boy. Now, at the same time, you shouldn't have sent him over there. I'm just keeping it real. You should have stayed your butt in your office. Stop. Don't break and enter, all right? You wouldn't be breaking and entering. You wouldn't be dead. But we ain't going there. All I'm saying is it's only taken up a notch by, of course, his boy getting killed by Mrs. Jones. And he can't, I don't know if it's the competition or the superhero thing, because it does seem like he has a problem with people with powers, and then, you know, the competition thing, and then the woman thing, and then it's just a lot with him, and he can't move on. And that's a problem with him, where we need him to move along the story, but I honestly feel sorry for him, man. Dude needs to just get, and I know this sounds bad, but he just needs to get a life. But we're going to move on to the most important people after the jump. But of course, first, Kuro Brand going to help us pay them bills. Oh, yeah, that's right. Check that link below. Hats, shirts, hoodies, all that jazz. And once you find something you like, cop it. Now, let's get into your boy Malcolm, aka Maxwell Jr., aka the last hope of Alias. I really like Malcolm, man. I feel like he's the only person in this show that's actually trying. When I say trying, I mean trying to move on, trying to be a better person, trying to reconcile with people, trying to do his best. And I say this to a lot of people. It's about the honest and earnest attempt to be better to yourself and those around you each and every day. And I feel like he's the only one in this show that's trying. And that's the thing that breaks my heart so much, because we see where he came from in season one. And to see how far he's come, now he does have his issue with, you know, I guess trading the needle for sex, but at least the needle isn't illegal. I mean, at least the sex isn't illegal. It is, you know, it is consensual, and it's, I'm assuming, safe. You know, guys, you know, be safe, ladies, be safe. But I assume it's safe as well. So there's, I mean, hey, man, look, if as long as your addiction is like, I don't know, pizza, you'll be okay. But if you have, you know, needles, it's not too good. But I feel like he's the only one who's trying. And he really wants to be, he wants to help Jessica. You know, he doesn't want to be in a place where he feels like he's unneeded or unnecessary. And at times Jessica uses that against him. At times Jerry uses that against him. But by the end of the season, unfortunately, due to the back and forth and the fallout of Jessica's moms and all that, he ends up going over to Price's side, which I'm not sure how that's gonna play out in season three. I hope to see him back, but I can understand if he never comes back, because Jessica, to a certain degree, doesn't deserve someone to treat her the way Malcolm has treated her. And also the way, I cannot think, the guy in 6F now, the guy upstairs, the new landlord, treats her. Because she needs to open herself up as well. But Malcolm is just someone who I love in the show, because we need that ray of hope in the show. And he's just done so well. Yes, he makes mistakes, a whole lot of them, but I feel his heart's in the right place. So let's talk about Trish, or Trish Talk. Trish is in a grass is greener situation. And similar with Jessica, but mostly with Jessica, with the idea that she's not powerful enough, or that she can't save people, or that Jessica's wasting her power. Now, I do believe that Jessica could be doing more, but that doesn't mean that you need to go off on this elaborate crusade and get back into addiction and killing people and quitting shows and using people. Your idea of thinking that, you know, Jessica is living this lavish life, or if you only had what she had, you could do it better. You know, sometimes, like the story goes, the grass is green until you get over there. And she got over there, and now she's realizing that it's not all it's cracked up to be. You know, this journey through IGH to basically find powers, which was BS the whole time. She was acting like, oh, I want to find out for your path. She didn't want to do nothing for Jessica. She was selfish the whole time. She wanted powers for herself. So I wanted to stop and get into Mrs. Jones, Alyssa for just a moment, and Carl. We start to get into this flashback where you see, you know, the mother, the experiments and all this stuff. And I think it's done very well in how we're brought back to, how should you say, I guess the past and the teenage years between, of course, Jessica and Trish. But you get to see where the mom was all this time at IGH and the relationship that she started to have, how she followed Jess for some time, the incident at IGH where she killed someone. And you get to find out that this is someone that unfortunately should have been dealt with, should have been put down a long time ago. And especially once we know that she's been just basically sneaking out and committing hits on different people. Now I know that she was in love with Carl and that she wanted to protect them, but even she had to realize, like, yo, you can't come back from just cold-blooded murder. Like, I mean, if you're killing someone to protect someone or to protect people or, you know, things like that, that's different. But killing just because you're like, oh, well, I don't want to be found out, that's, nah, man, that's super bad and you should be in jail. Now, I do like how in the end, she saw Jessica working so hard to try to salvage their relationship, to try to save her, to try to hide her, to try to get them across the border. And you saw the look in her eyes that she was like, you know what, this has gone too far. You know what I'm saying? This is too much. And maybe we need to, you know, I do need to be in jail because I cannot drag her down, because I'm seeing how important she is, how the life that she has and how much she's done. And all I'm going to do is drag her further, you know, down and deeper into just criminality, into the rage, into being a monster. And that's not what I want her to be, because of course she said when she sees her, I think she said shining on top of a hill or something to that extent. And to see that Jessica was everything that she wanted to be is just a beautiful thing to me. Unfortunately, she had to die the way she had to die, but I like that she got that closure and Jessica got that closure, because there's a relationship there that I think that was extremely strong through this whole show. So last but not least, let's talk about Miss Jones, Jessica Jones. This season, the first four episodes, she was irking me because she had the same attitude and everything from the first season. I'm like, dude, I thought after the first season, after Defenders, we had started to kind of get out of that attitude and that characterization of her, but she started to turn. And now I finally see someone who's not just wallowing in their pain or just stewing in their regret and blah, 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 but someone who wants to change, who wants to do something, who wants to be better and maybe be a hero. And I loved how she, you know, just handled herself throughout this show, whether dealing with Trish, whether dealing with her mom, whether dealing with Malcolm. At times it was up and down for me, but I think that this show did a great job of revolving around her and using her in a very good way. Jessica Jones to me is someone who I feel like Malcolm is now trying. And I can get down with that. If you're trying to do better, if you're reaching for more, I can get down with that, because she definitely did her best to turn everyone away from her. She did her best to drink herself into oblivion, or to push everyone away as far as possible, to be as mean and evil, to isolate herself. But once she found that the landlord, and I'm so sorry, I'm forgetting that character's name, but Vito is his son, Vito and his dad, you know, once he saw them, she saw them open up to her, and, you know, maybe realizing that Malcolm was trying, and then seeing her mother, I think that worked in together to her finally being open to the possibility of, you know, companionship, of friendship, of love, of, you know, these things that I think that she'll need to heal herself so she doesn't have to see the purple man in her mind anymore. So yeah, that's how I feel about these people. I feel they were broken, but I think this was a beautiful season. So guys, holla at me. I'm gonna holla at you. Down in them comments, I know this was a long episode, but check it. Let's talk about Jessica Jones season 2. And before I bounce, I'm gonna tell you guys to hit up thatnerdsoul.com. That's right, check me out right there. All my videos from the oldest, newest, latest, greatest, and all that. And then hit up shop.thatnerdsoul.com and pick yourself up a t-shirt player. And don't forget to get one for them playettes. Then come back here, like, comment, subscribe, and share that Nerd Soul. That's right, there's no better way that I can show people that you like what you are watching. So, LA, what up? VA, what up? RVA, you got my heart. And please be good to yourselves. Please be good to each other. And remember, for the most part, there's always a chance to redeem yourself. Peace.